Proverbs chapter 9, is everybody there? Say amen. Amen. All right, the Bible said, wisdom hath builded her house. She hath hewn out her seven pillars. Now, we've been going through Proverbs on Wednesday night some, kind of switching back and forth, been preaching through 1 Corinthians some, and I'm switching back and forth. Last Wednesday night, I went into 1 Corinthians. This morning, I'm going to take Proverbs and move to 1 Corinthians and hook them together and then go further in the Bible. But God says here that wisdom hath builded her house. She hath hewn out her seven pillars. This morning, I was down at my mother's and visiting with her, and she's sitting there, and of course, you know, she's just at a time of her life when she can't hardly get out, and she started crying. She says, oh, I want to be at church so bad, and she started crying. She want to be at church so bad, and I went over there, knelt down beside her, and I said, Mama, pray. I've got to go, and I prayed, and I put my arm around her, and I asked myself, how many more times are you going to be able to put your arm around your mother on this side of glory? And I left out there, and I thought, Reggie, all you're mostly doing right now is looking back and seeing how dumb you've been. You know, you get there in life. You just look back and see how foolish you've been. Oh, listen to me, young people. Don't let the devil fool you and tell you you're smart, because you ain't got any wisdom apart from God. Amen. And I look back and think, and I thought to myself, Fred, you know what'll happen? You're gonna get, if you live to be mama's age, you're gonna look back and see how dumb you were today. Okay. And you know, but God wants you to have something. Now, I want to tell you, I'm your pastor. I love you. But I know there's something the Bible says. I was telling Karen yesterday, we took a drive, went down through there, and I said, Karen, right there when I was a boy, those people used to raise sugar cane and make molasses. And they put it in 10-gallon cans. And my mom and dad sent me over here one time to buy a 10-gallon of molasses. And mama make them big biscuits. You slap that stuff on, you mix the butter with the, you make the butter. How many of you kids ever made butter? Raise your hand. Boy, I'll tell you. And boy, you slice, mix that molasses and put that on them biscuits. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Using high heaven right then. And I said, right there's we got that. Well, I said, Karen, after I was saved and preached, I was visiting, going house to house down in that country. And I stopped into those people's place. And they said, she is an elderly lady. She'd gotten very elderly. And I was trying to witness to her and trying to talk about the Lord. And all she would say to me is this. Now, listen to it. She would say, well, the Bible says, with all thy getting, get wisdom. That's all she'd say. Tried talking about Christ. She'd say, well, all thy getting, get wisdom. And it was kind of like she put the fact of just being wise over above salvation. I don't know whether she was or not. Don't remember all that much about it. But I want to tell you this much. I'm your pastor. I love you. I love myself. And I need wisdom. And I've been asking God. The other day, I was in the book of James where it says in James chapter 1, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask. God says he'll give liberally. And I thought, Lord, what I want for Ty, what should I want for you as a pastor? I want you to have wisdom. Amen. Sister Allison, what should I want for you as your pastor? I should want you to have wisdom. Now, the Bible teaches two kinds of wisdom. There's a wisdom of the world, and there's a wisdom of God. There's a wisdom of man, and there's a wisdom of God. God wants us to have wisdom. Now, he said there that wisdom hath hewn out. Now, you talk about that word hewn. It takes a while to work that out. Now, then it says pillars. Now, watch this. Pillars. God says that wisdom hath hewn out her seven, now number seven is completion, pillars. Now pillars, what do pillars do? They hold things up. So what God is telling us here is that if we will get his wisdom and let it hewn, let pillars be hewn out in our life, we'll have some. I don't know about you, but Reg Kelly needs God's seven pillars of wisdom to hold my life up. And I'm going to tell you right now, the catastrophes and the calamities and the confusion and the mess ups and the most of my troubles and trials have been because there have been certain pillars that were not hewn out. And the pressures of life came and the winds of life came and I didn't have the pillars where they need to be and things fell. I can tell you this much, every time there's something goes wrong in your life, I'm just saying that as a result of you know, things, most of the time it is because there's a pillar of wisdom that's not there. Now I want to say something very briefly. I deeply, deeply admire Brother Bill Gothard. Is he still living? Does anybody know, is he still living? He has a study, and we've had it here, at the Seven Pillars of Wisdom. But I'm not preaching on the ones that he has today, okay? I'm not disagreeing with them. I embrace them. By the way, if you've heard bad stuff about him, don't believe it. Okay? Give him the benefit of the doubt. But I'll tell you something I learned from Bill Gothard. that the older you get, the more Satan will come against you. It doesn't matter if you're 70 or 80, because what Satan wanted to do was destroy all the good that he's done across this country. So you just keep that in mind, all right? I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not going to tear the man of God down. I'm going to build him back up. If he did fall, I'm going to reach down and I'm going to try to lift him back up. I'm not going to stomp on him. Amen, amen. But anyway, God says that wisdom hath builded her house. She hath hewn out her seven pillars. Now go to 1 Corinthians chapter 20, if you will. And I promise you I will try to keep trucking here. 1 Corinthians chapter 20. I'm sorry, 1 Corinthians 1, verse number 20. Boy, I am in a hurry, ain't I? The Bible said, where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Now remember, he's talking to these cosmopolitan Greek Christians at the city of Corinth and the new Christians there. He's saying, the wise, the scribe, where is the disputer of the world? Hath not God made foolish the what? The wisdom of this world. Now, you're either building your life on the wisdom of God, his wisdom that hews out these seven pillars, or you're building your life on the pillars of man's wisdom. And man's wisdom, when the pressures come, when the storms come and the problems come, I promise you those pillars are crushed on you every time. Now, I want you to take your Bibles and go to the book of James chapter 3. James chapter 3, please go there. Every Bible open to the book of James chapter 3 and verse 17. Now remember that it said in the book of Proverbs chapter 9, the Holy Ghost told us that wisdom hath hewn out her seven pillars. But it doesn't particularly name those seven pillars there. God the Holy Ghost waits until he gets into the book New Testament in the book of James 3:17, and he's going to give you in specific name the seven pillars of wisdom that is from above. The Bible said, verse number 17, and by the way, I want to say something in the context here. Chapter 3 is the biggest chapter in the Bible on a man's mouth and his tongue. And most of our problems in life come from our mouth. They come from our tongue. But here's the problem. There's a deeper root than that, because the Bible said that the mouth speaketh out of the heart. The mouth speaketh. And he's coming down into the latter part of that chapter, and he said, verse number 14, but if you have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not, and underline this in your Bible, lie not against the truth. Now that's a powerful statement. Don't lie against the truth. This wisdom, worldly wisdom, descendeth not from above, but it is earthly, it is sensual, and it is devilish. Now he's talking about that wisdom that you read about in 1 Corinthians 1:20, that wisdom of the world. He said it's earthly, it's sensual, and it's devilish. By the way, that's what most of the people you know are running on, this kind of wisdom. Amen. Saved people, people who've been born again, if they do not let God hew out the seven pillars of wisdom in their hearts and souls and minds and spirits, they will run on worldly wisdom that is earthly, sensual, and devilish. Verse number 16, here's the result. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. I mean, your life is just a storm of confusion and evil work. Now he's going to turn, pivot, and he said, now I'm going to give you, but the wisdom that is from where? Above. Now he's going to tell you, and he's going to put them in an order. And when the Holy Ghost says first, he's giving you a list. And he's giving you a list of priority of these pillars. So this is what we're preaching on this morning, is these seven. And by the way, there's seven of them. One of them is a double. One of them is a double. And there's seven pillars right here in this verse. So we know from Proverbs 9:1, wisdom hath hewn out her seven pillars. We can know with assurance, since God listed seven aspects of God's wisdom, we can know that we're in tune with the Word of God and rightly dividing it right here. He said, first of all, now, and before we get into this, God wants you and I to have wisdom. The older I get, the more I want to have wisdom. And as I said, the more I look back and the problems I've had in life, even though I meant well at times, the reason it didn't turn out well was because I did not have the wisdom of God. And I ran on the wisdom of man. The Bible teaches us that primarily and undergirding everything, Christ is our wisdom. We need wisdom. Life has so many decisions to make. I'm thinking about Ben and Hannah this morning, both of them having to make a decision. You talk about a decision, you've just made one. Beyond your salvation decision, that's the greatest decision you're ever going to, biggest decision you ever make is who you're going to marry outside yourself, I believe personally, outside of salvation. And man, do we need wisdom? And so God says, I want, and I know God wants, I want God. Oh, listen, you young people, you Pitts boys, and all of you young people right here, and all of you, if there was anything I could pour out of my soul to you today, and I know you probably look at me, oh, Reggie, you're just an old fogey, you're 65 years old, you don't have a clue about my life, but I've been there. And I look back at when I was 16, 17, 18, 20, 22, 25, 35, and I'm saying, oh my God, I wished I'd had wisdom. And if I could pour anything out to you Sutton kids today, as your pastor, I'm begging and pleading that you'll get a hold of this message and you'll take and run with it and you'll do something with it. And God, you'll let God hew out these seven pillars of wisdom so that when the storms of life and the decisions come, you'll have the wisdom you need to keep from being destroyed by Satan or injured or wounded or made or not achieve what God would have you to be in your life and avoid so many problems and sorrows and pain. That's what I'm after. We need to study the life and teaching of Jesus Christ to have wisdom. He is our wisdom. As we said, there's the wisdom of this world and the wisdom of God. Life, our world is under the curse of sin. Let me tell you something. We are living under a curse. And man alive, it's just like I said yesterday. We went out and looked at the trees. Sometimes you just want to get away. You know, back in the Depression, they called movies The Great Escape. They just wanted to escape the reality of the brokenness and the deadness. And a lot of times we're just doing stuff to try to escape the horrible, stupid, idiotic, crazy stuff that we have to deal with every day in our life. There's pain, there's sorrow, there's death, there's hurts, there's wounds, there's confusion, there's uncertainty, there's conflict in friendships and conflict in family and conflict in churches, and there's disagreements and there's spiritual warfare, and then we're parenting and we're raising children and we're dealing with our spouse and our marriage, we're dealing with our finances and we're dealing with education and now we're dealing with government and the influence of this world and the philosophies of this world, and there's music, we got to make decisions on music and art and vocation. What am I going to do with my life? And what am I going to work at? And we're looking for direction and we're having to make decisions. And God knows we must have His wisdom in order to keep from train wrecking our lives. Can I say something to you? You can be a saved person and train wreck your life. Samson was a saved man and train wrecked his life. David was a saved man and train wrecked his life. I would say to you, if you think I'm kidding you, what do you think about David? He's not a young man now. He's not the shepherd boy. He's not with Goliath. He's not in his great battles. He's a 65, 70-year-old man, and he has watched his children just train wreck. Don't you think that he might have looked back and thought, I should have spent a little more time with my children. I'd have been a wiser man. Well, let's look at it this morning and learn. And now, I don't know how far I'm going to go. I won't finish this message this morning. I'll finish tonight. But number one, the wisdom that is from above is first pure. You cannot, I cannot be wise with God's wisdom without a pure life. Now, I'm talking about today, the first thing God, if you want to build these pillars, He said first it's pure. Let me tell you about God. He's a pure God. Amen. He don't dabble in sin. In fact, the Bible said that the impure cannot be in His eyes. He's of more holy than to behold the evil. He's of more pure eyes than behold evil. God is a clean, holy God. He is a pure God. Can I tell you, I want to give you some verses. The Bible said in Matthew 5:8, blessed are the pure in heart. God wants you and I to have a pure heart. Psalms 51, David realized, watch this. David began to pick up on this in Psalms 51 after in his repentance toward God said something. Create in me a what? Clean heart. I want to tell you this morning. God just showed me this past week. Reggie, you've been asking me for wisdom. You read James 1:7. It's in James 3:17. Go study it. Reggie, just don't read over it. Do you understand that I'm telling you, Reggie, that the wisdom from above is first pure? Reggie, if you want my wisdom hewn out in your life, get all the junk out. Get all the sin out. You will not have wisdom to make decisions in your life with impurity in your life. The wisdom that is from above is first what? Pure. Pure means it's not mixed. It doesn't mean that on Sunday I'm trying to live this way, but on Monday I do this. Here's what will happen. If you do not let God hew out that pillar of purity in your life, you do not have the very first thing that you need to make wise decisions. If you base your decisions and directions in life with an impure heart, an impure mind, an impure conscience, you do not have the wisdom of God and you cannot make wise decisions. I beg of you this morning, while I'm preaching, to begin praying. God created me a clean heart. I want to have your wisdom. And God, I understand that if I'm to have your wisdom, I need to be pure. What are my motives? Are they pure? What are my methods? Are they pure? What are my intentions? Are they pure? Do the things that I do have angles and hooks to them and stuff like this? And why am I doing what I'm doing? Is my motivations pure? You see what God is saying? He saved us. Now watch this. He saved us. And then God begins to sanctify us in a practical way. And that is to take the impurities out of our lives. Because God wants you and I wise. But he is going to tell you something. And he's not joking. If you're going to have the pillars of wisdom hewn out in your life, the first one that has to be built is purity. You say, why does he use the word hewn? Because he's going to work on you. What hath God wrought? W-R-O-U-G-H-T. That means that's like the blacksmith is rotting. And he's putting it in the fire. And then he's hammering on it. Watch this. He's putting it in the fire. And he's hammering on it. And if you're hewing something, you are working it out. And it takes work and pressure. And it cuts things off. And it's forming and it's conforming to the image of Christ. And God is working on you. And all the pressures and the problems and stuff that seems to be coming your way, God is using that to hewn out. But I'm telling you, God has just revealed to me so clearly, Reggie, you say you want wisdom. You must live a pure life by the grace of God. Your words must be pure. Your thoughts must be pure. Your intentions, your goals must be pure. You cannot have wisdom. Reggie, don't you know you're going to make mistakes? You won't have the wisdom you need if you're not living a pure life. Going to train wreck, Reggie. It's first pure. God has nothing to do with impurity. God, let me take it to another realm of purity. God wants us to be honest. If I'm dishonest, if I tell part of the truth, it's not pure. It's not pure. God doesn't want us having a double heart. He doesn't want us deceiving anybody about anything. He doesn't want us using deception in our business. He doesn't want us using deception in our relationships. He doesn't want us using any kind of deceit in our worship. The Bible said in 2 Samuel 22:27, with the pure thou wilt show thyself pure. By the way, in the Old Testament, the priest, the first thing that was required of the priest, that they purify themselves. They couldn't serve God unless they purified themselves. Old Testament priest, now we are new, you and I now are New Testament priest. And if you'll study the Old Testament priesthood, you'll find exactly what God expects of you as a New Testament priest. And the very first thing they had to do, just like Jane said, first, purify yourself. They couldn't put on those priest garments. They couldn't walk into the temple area, tabernacle area in the temple area. They couldn't even begin to serve God unless they had first purified themselves. Did you know what? When I walk up to this pulpit, you know what I had better have done this morning before I got here? I had better talk to my Lord, and I'd better make sure I've got a clean slate before I walk behind his pulpit, as far as I know. Because let me tell you something, God will not use unclean vessels. He will not do it. The Bible speaks of, in the book of Job. Job spoke of having pure doctrine. You can have pure doctrine. The Bible talks about pure prayers. That Jesus dealt with those who were praying hypocritical, sanctimonious prayers. God wants your prayers to be pure. In Psalms 12, number 6, the Bible said the words of the Lord are pure words. Amen. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 30, verse 5, that the words of the Lord are pure. That means there, watch this. Are you listening to me? That means there is no mixture of error or mistakes in this Bible. This book is pure. And if you don't believe it's pure, the preachers who do not believe this book is pure are calling God Almighty a liar. Now that's the fact of it. Psalms 24, verse 12 says, who shall ascend into the hill? Watch this. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? or who shall stand in his holy place. He's talking here about serving God as Christian people. He's not talking about salvation here. He's talking about serving the Lord, having God to be able to use your life. He said, who is going to stand in his holy place? The high and the holy place, the place of wisdom. Watch this. Do you see that? The high place. In the Bible, a high place is a place of influence that will influence other people and influence the culture. Here's who it is. He that hath clean hands and a pure heart. God says, if you want to be used of me in the culture, you're going to have a pure heart. The Bible said in Philippians chapter 4, whatsoever things, he said, if you want to think on things that are what? Pure. 1 Timothy, Paul taught Timothy to say, he said, Timothy, if you're going to serve God, you need a pure heart, you need a pure conscience, and you need to keep thyself pure. Because he said, Timothy, if you don't have that, you're shot. That's the first thing. The wisdom from above is first pure. I'm preaching this today with an appeal. I'm not up here with a stick, no more than I want anybody to beat on me. But God, the Holy Ghost, in his word has challenged me. Reggie, are your thoughts pure? Are your motives pure? Are your goals pure? Is your love pure? Is your conscience pure? Is your heart pure? And Reggie, you've asked me for wisdom. We're going to work on purity. There are many more in the Bible, but the wisdom from above is first pure. I want us to stop right now and pray. Father in heaven, just a minute, before I begin praying, I want each of you, would you join me in prayer today for God to give us a pure heart? Would you cry out to the Lord, God, give me a pure heart. Father in heaven, Lord, how we tremble nearly, Lord, today when we realize that you're a holy God, God who has loved us while we were yet sinners, and a God who sent your Son to bear the wrath of God against our sin, to pay for our sin, who his own self bare our sin in his own body. And God, you have called us to holiness, not to filth, not to selfishness, not to self-righteousness. But you've called us to purity. Oh God, today I would beg of you in Jesus' name, if I could ask you to do something in this congregation, Lord, it would be from the oldest of us to the youngest. And right now, God, we would ask you to hew out this pillar in our hearts, a pillar of purity. Lord, when we say that we love each other, we mean it. When we say we love you, that we'd mean it. That we wouldn't want nastiness. No more, Lord, we'd want to drink a cup of water with cow manure in it, Lord. Help us, Lord, not to try to mix the world's garbage with your purity. Lord, help us to know this morning, Lord, that you've promised wisdom, but you said the first thing is a pure. God, today I ask you in Jesus' name, Lord, I want my heart to be pure. I want my mind to be pure. I want my motives to be pure. I want my spirit to be pure. I don't want, Lord, to be mixed up with a bunch of worldly trash and filth. And so, Lord, we ask you today in Jesus' name by the work of the Holy Ghost to purify our hearts. God, purify our hearts. Lord, work on us in the days to come that we would ask ourselves, was that thought pure? Were those words pure? Was that attitude pure? Was that deed pure? Was that place I went pure? Was that entertainment, was it pure? Oh, God, thank you that even in our sin and filthiness, you never give up on us and you keep working in and through us, conforming us to the image of your Son. God, I thank you for opening my eyes and making me to see that, God, if I want wisdom, I'm going to have to deal with you purifying my soul. Lord, make us to understand that it's impossible for us to have the wisdom we need to make the right decisions, to avoid Satan's snares and traps, without your wisdom And without this first pillar, God, as for me and my house, make us pure. Lord, when I think about that you said that our hearts, our old natural hearts, are desperately wicked, deceitful above all things. Who can know it? Lord, it makes me to see how desperately we need the purity of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Oh God, I thank you that you're a pure God. Purify us today, individually and collectively. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. That's as far as I'm going to go with the message today. We're going to have communion right now. I'll preach whatever I can of the rest of the message tonight.